أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: الله أعلم حيث يجعل رسالته. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the concept of prophethood and revelation. You know that prophethood or prophecy or prophetology, as it is called in Nubuwa, is the third fundamental principle of Islam. All the Muslim factions, making no difference, they should relate to the Shi'as or the Sunnites, all are of the view that prophethood is one of the most fundamental pillars of faith. So everyone, he who prophesies the faith, he has to confess to this fundamental principle called an-nubuwa. So let's now have a revision about the concept of nubuwa or prophethood. What does prophethood in nubuwa means? There are two lexical and technical meanings for this concept. The lexical meaning of nubuwa or naba means an important message, an important news. So why the prophet is called Nabi? It is because of this, that he has brought an important message from divinity. So the technical sense has a very close relation with the lexical meaning of this word. There is also another derivation or derivatives for this word. Some have said that Naba or Nabi, it is derivation, it is root, is from the meaning of Nabawa, which means high, lofty, sublime, the thing which is of a high character. Why Nabi, the prophet is called Nabi? Because he possesses a high character. He possesses high characters. So due to this, prophet is called Nabi. The most significant point that we have to keep it in mind is that there is a close relation between the lexical and technical meanings of nubuwa, which I have said that either it is taken from naba'a, which means an important message, a very of high significance news, or that is from nabawa, which means high character, high quality, high position, a very lofty and sublime character. This word has been technically defined by Allama Hilli as following: هُوَ الْإِنسَانُ الْمُخْبِرُ عَنِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ وَاسِطَةِ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْبَشَرِ. It means the prophet is he who receives messages from Almighty Allah without being intermediated, without having the intermediation of another human. So the prophet is the person who receives message from the divinity. He who gives news from Almighty Allah, or he who brings us messages from divinity, he is called Nabi. He is called messenger of Almighty Allah, or he is called an apostle. So the most important duty of the apostle, the messenger, and the prophet is to receive the message and then convey this message to the people. This is called Nabi. Another important concept that we have to clarify and we have to illustrate about, that is revelation. Revelation means disclosure. But in the technical sense, which we talk about the revelation in the Islamic background, that means those messages that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or in all the prophets have received from Almighty Allah. So the lexical meaning of revelation is a hidden point or a mysterious understanding, pointing at mysterious point, divine instinct or instinctive guidance, hidden intuition or intuition from the world of the unseen. So all these are the lexical meaning of revelation. But the technical meaning of revelation is that Almighty has sent messages through his prophets. And those messages are called revelation. And since this revelation should be received by the human beings, we understand that all the human beings are not eligible. All the human beings do not have this eligibility, this capacity, this ability to receive revelation from the divinity. Since all the human beings do not possess this eligibility, so it is Almighty Allah who pinpoints, who determines whom should be his prophet. It needs omnipotence. It needs to be having comprehensive knowledge about the inward or the inner aspect of the human beings. So since no human is aware of another man's inward feelings, intentions, and they do not have knowledge about the internal side, so it is the duty of Almighty Allah that he has to determine who should play the role of a prophet or who should be given this duty and this responsibility. He who is responsible for the prophethood, he has to be determined by Almighty Allah. Why? Because it needs infallibility. It needs a pure inward intentions, feelings, and capacity to receive the divine revelation. Since everyone is not able to receive Almighty Allah's revelation, it needs a higher and sublime character, so Almighty Allah knows best who suits best for revelation, or who suits best for receiving revelation. And this is the fact that has been explicitly expressed in the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah says, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. Almighty Allah says, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. God knows best where he has to put or who has to be pinpointed as a messenger, as a divine prophet. So to know who is the prophet, so it should be clarified from Almighty Allah's side. But what are those signs? Later on, inshallah, we will discuss that miracle is a sign for this, that he has to substantiate his representativeness from Almighty Allah. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, receiving revelation needs a higher capacity, a higher merit, a higher worth. So everyone, every ordinary, every layman is not able to receive the divine revelation. Everyone cannot be put as an addressee for Almighty Allah. Since Almighty Allah is absolutely pure, so receiving revelation from this transcendental entity, I mean Allah, needs that a person should also be pure, should be also infallible. Otherwise, a person with dirty hearts cannot be a person who has to be addressed by Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah needs a person who has to be pure, so that he has to receive Almighty Allah's revelation. So receiving revelation needs and requires some characteristics. And those characteristics should be met first. And then, of course, we can talk about this, that he has to convey this divine messages for the people. We say that one of the most important characteristics that one has to meet, that is purity, and that purity cannot be known except or save Almighty Allah. And it is Almighty Allah who determines who should be his prophet or who should play the role of a messenger. Another important point should be pointed out too, and that is this, that the human beings, save those who have experienced revelation by themselves, no one else can have true understanding of this phenomenon. You know that there have been written many books, many articles, many works have been developed to investigate about the true nature of revelation. I mean, al-wahi. But none of them made remarkable or noteworthy contributions in this regard, because it is a very mysterious phenomenon. No one can have access to the true nature of this phenomenon. Why? Because it is not a repeatable phenomenon that everyone else should repeat it, everyone should experience, and then should analyze and should describe it. Yes, revelation can be known through its signs, but the core and the very, very real nature of revelation is something that God knows best and he who has experienced in person. But those who have witnessed, those who have written books, for sure, most of them, or at least 99% of them, have not experienced the phenomenon of revelation in person. So they cannot have true understanding of what occurs when Almighty Allah sends revelation or messages. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, this was a very important point, that since it is not a repeatable accident or incident, no one can have true understanding of the nature of revelation except those who have been the addressee of revelation. Another important point, that it is a mysterious communication between Almighty Allah and that of the human beings. No one else knows what occurs or what happens when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the rest of the Prophet gets awareness or gets messages or receives messages from Almighty Allah. What happens? No one else knows except Almighty Allah. So now let's talk about the arguments on necessity of the prophets. Why the human beings are in dire need of the prophets? Do not they have intellect? Is not their intellect sufficient that they have to define their prosperity in adversity? All these questions can be posed in respect with the necessity of the divine prophets. So you know, dear listeners, we can talk about the necessity of the divine prophets similar that we have talked about the necessity of religion. Some of those arguments that we have developed in respect with the necessity of religion, they can be put forth in regard with the necessity of the divine prophets as well. We can demonstrate the truth of something in various ways. Sometimes we demonstrate the truth of an argument or the truth of something through rational arguments. Sometimes we bring rational and scriptural arguments, but sometimes we only can resort to scriptural arguments in regard with the necessity of prophethood. The Muslim philosophers and theologians have developed both scriptural and rational arguments that demonstrate the necessity of the divine prophethoods. It means that the human beings are in dire need of the prophets. They cannot define their prosperity in adversity through their own rational, we can say, understanding of the phenomena. They are not able enough to judge about the good and bad totally and entirely. Yes, partially we accept that our intellect, our reasoning ability can prove and can substantiate something. But totally talking, we do not have information about each and everything. In one of the most important arguments for this, that our rationality or our ration, our reasoning power is not able to grant our prosperity, is this, that every now and then we get repentant. I ask you, dear listeners, can you find me a person who has not experienced remorsefulness or who has never ever experienced repentance? For sure not. Every one of us, more or less, every now and then have experienced repentance. So it means that sometimes there are some areas that our intellect cannot have true estimation, cannot have true analysis of the issues, cannot have true analysis and evaluation of the situation. In those cases, for sure, we are in need of revelation. And the prophets come and say that these orders must be kept in mind, must be applied, must be implied, so that we have to compensate the shortage of your intellect. Or, for example, sometimes our intellect does not have access to those realms. For example, about the life hereafter, our aql, our intellect, does not have anything to say in regard with the life hereafter, leaving aside about the necessity. About those detailed issues, nothing can be said, nothing can be judged by our intellect. So here revelation comes and say, since you cannot reach, you cannot have access to those valuable and noteworthy points of the hidden world, so I will come and I will say something that it should compensate your shortage. So that is why we stand in dire need of the prophets and their trustworthy and worthwhile messages. This is one of the most important arguments that we right now put forward for the necessity of the divine prophets. Another important argument that the Muslim theologians have put forth for the necessity of the divine prophets, that is the rule of grace. The rule of the grace, what does it say? It says that if Almighty Allah has created us, so for sure He has not created us void. Thirdly, He has created us purposefully. So what is the purpose? The purpose is this, that we have to evolve. We have to develop. From different perspectives, we have to develop ourselves. From spiritual, from materialistic, from each and every angle, from every aspect, we have to develop. So if Almighty Allah says that proximity to me is the final goal and the ultimate objective, if He does not send us prophets, that He has to show the address and formulas that we have to reach evolution through those formulas, so Almighty Allah would not be successful in meeting those objectives. Once again, Almighty Allah says that I have created you so that you have to evolve. Through what? Through coming to me or getting proximity to Almighty Allah. So if this is the final goal, who has to help the human beings to reach this destination? If Almighty Allah does not send us prophets, messengers, and those noteworthy and remarkable personalities, and those great saints, we will not be directed to those destinations. or we will not be directed to that destination. Almighty Allah has defined us. The rule of grace, that is called Qa'idah Lutf, makes Almighty Allah that He has to send us messengers in messages that should rescue us, make us reach that predefined destination. The definition of this rule is كُلُّ مَا يُقَرِّبُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَيُبَعِّدُهُ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Whatever that makes us farther from the sins, from being defined towards Almighty Allah, and what makes us closer to Almighty Allah, all of them should be given and should be defined by Almighty Allah. Otherwise, we will not meet that defined objective. Otherwise, we would be led astray. Otherwise, we will be misguided. Since we have to reach that ultimate goal, so the ways in the path, in the background should also be paved by the divine prophets. And this is the duty of the divine prophets, to pave the background for the human beings' felicity and happy life in this world and in the life hereafter. So, dear listeners, these were the two important arguments that we have raised about the necessity of the divine prophets. And later on, we will, inshallah, discuss about the issues which are related to the prophethood and to prophetology. May God bless you all. Until then, thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.